Okay, yes. Kavi, we're giving Kavi a win. Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show, where we take entering the green room studio seriously. And Kavi is the winner of this round. Like I said, I don't know what the win, what it's going to be in the end, what someone will receive. I think I need to go get some sort of, oh, I have an idea. I have a really good idea. Okay. I can't say. I think I just came up with a good idea. Okay. we're talking about the unsung missions of space, similar to neon, which is not that exciting of an element on the periodic table. Some of these missions just don't seem that exciting, but they really are. It's just, it takes a little bit of a deeper appreciation for the science that they're doing, but they don't get quite as much fanfare as some of these other missions like a Mars rover or the Artemis program, but we think that they're very exciting and we wanted to talk about them, these lesser known missions. And two that I'm, oh no, I can't remember the name of the second one, but two that I'm very excited about, and you should remember the second one, Sarah, I know, is our Return to Venus, Da Vinci Plus, and why can't I remember the second one, but I will look it up. But those are relatively new. Hold on, Da Vinci Plus and Veritas. Thank you. It's like on the top of my head.
The truth.
These are our Return to Venus missions. We haven't been to Venus since like forever. It's been a really long time.
Was the Soviet Union the last country to send something to Venus?
I think so. I think it was, the last attempt.
The Varuna program. Something like that.
Well, that was the only successful landing we ever had, which brought images back, was from the Soviet Union. Nothing usually can make it on the surface of Mars, Venus. Yes. It's just a hellhole of heat and extreme atmospheric pressure. And so the challenge of getting something to land there is that you have to build something that can withstand at least enough time to send a picture back. And it's basically like steampunk, gear kind of landers. But yes, Benjamin.
Ultimate Burning Man.
Yeah, right.
I think they had to try like 3 or 4 times until they actually managed to get something to like live long enough to take the photo.
Were melting and getting crushed by the atmosphere before they even landed the first few attempts.
Which is why
it's a horrible, horrible place.
Right. That's why pretty much everybody gave up. They were just like, nah, it's not really worth all this money to launch something to statistically, the odds are not in its favor. But the reason that Da Vinci and Veritas were selected, Da Vinci Plus, I'm sorry, were selected for Venus was because of that interesting paper that got released that there is maybe evidence of phosphine in the atmosphere. And so it's not really to land them per se, it's to go through the atmosphere and to take samples from the atmosphere, because there's a happy little sweet spot where I think we've talked about it on the show, where you wouldn't even have to wear a spacesuit. It's like, you'd have to wear a breathing apparatus, but your body could actually, you could physically survive outside of a craft. And so we have microorganisms in our atmosphere. It's highly plausible that maybe from when Venus was Earth-like, there are still leftover living remnants in the atmosphere. So that is what they're going back for, to look at why could there be phosphine in the atmosphere? So I'm really excited about that one. Do you guys have any off the top of your head that you can think of that you're very excited for that isn't as flashy as people going up to space, but a really cool upcoming mission?
I mean, mine, so there isn't a set launch date at the moment, but mine is the LCRT, the Lunar Crater Radio Telescope.
Ooh.
Which is something that I'm super excited about. So there's this cool, super nerdy thing called aperture synthesis. It's basically you, rather than building like a massive radio telescope, like a giant dish, you build a bunch of smaller ones, and then you can connect the signals between them to effectively like synthesize a telescope that big, right? So like when you're measuring the data afterwards, it's as if you had one that big. And that's how we managed to get photos of images of like the black hole that we got with the Event Horizon Telescope. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's doing what's called VLBI, very long baseline interferometry. Radio astronomers are great with coming up with acronyms and names.
Bless you.
But yeah, so like that connected a bunch of telescopes across the planet to effectively synthesize a radio telescope the size of Earth. And so what's really exciting about the LCRT is two things. One, the fact that rather than building a dish, they're basically going to use an existing crater on the moon, put a focal point and receiver there, and basically turn that crater into a dish. That's one exciting part. But the other one would be if they can actually connect the signals between the baselines on Earth and that radio telescope on the moon, we would basically effectively be able to have a radio telescope the size of like the Earth-Moon distance. If you can picture that. It's like, this big.
I mean, 250,000 I remember seeing a picture of the, you know, like a telescope, whatever, radio telescope going in a crater. And I remember there was kind of controversy. People were like, oh, you know, like the moon is now we're going to be putting Starbucks and McDonald's on there next. But I love that. I didn't realize that it was becoming more and more of a reality. I just remember seeing that picture.
It got funded. I think it's gone through two funding rounds through NASA. And there's like, they're definitely working on it at NASA and at JPL. So it's awesome. It's very much real. I'm not sure when the launch date is targeted for.
But that'll be amazing and also probably coincide with like Artemis mission goals and building a base on the moon, I would assume. How about you, Benjamin? Do you have something that you're like excited about?
That I'm excited about.
It's lesser known.
I am, not just for the jokes, I am genuinely excited about the probe that go to the planets before Neptune, the one after Saturn.
We're gonna probe a planet. One that's way out there.
The as yet to be named, yet officially and unofficially comically named Uranus probe.
Uranus. Depends how professional you want to sound.
That one's going to be awesome. We're going to learn so much stuff. But with all this DART mission stuff that's been happening the last couple of days, the European Space Agency is launching a second mission to Dimorphos in 24.
Oh.
It's called Hera, and it's going to go right back to Dimorphos so we can accurately observe and measure the damage caused by DART.
Which I think is a lot more surprising than we expected it to be. I think like the plumes that came off of it from the ground-based telescopes were like, whoa, that was a lot bigger than we thought it was gonna
Those images from the Atlas telescope are incredible. Like you really see like this like cloud of dust and pot. That would actually be really interesting to see if you know we sent a mission back there in a couple of years. I wonder if you would have like the development of an asteroid belt or a ring as a result.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. And thank you for bringing up the Uranus naming competition, the probe. It would not be the Space Case Sarah show if we didn't get to some sort of like toilet joke at some point in the show. Like it just would not be our show if we didn't have some sort of joke or innuendo in that direction. And I cannot wait for the memes that Kavi is going to create, because that if we have any indication off of the DART one, no kiss. We're gonna have some glorious memes sent to us from Fun Fact Science that
do we want to read out?
Surely enjoy.
Do you want to read out some of the names?
Do we have some suggestions already? Yes.
Yeah. So NASA said, hey, like, you know, what could go wrong if we ask the internet to name the Uranus probe?
Oh my God.
And so there are a couple of
that were insane.
There are a couple of good ones. I think
I'll start again.
I mean, Proby McProbe face was like always going to be up there. So I'm really glad that was one of the top ones that came up. But we also had we also had a few acronyms that were quite nice. So we had the Planetary Orbital Observation Probe, or POOP. We had the Better... I'm going to kill Sarah with these next two. The Better Uranus Telemetry Tracking, or BUT. And finally, the Advanced New Uranus Space Mission, or ANUS.
ANUS. And I mean, why not? NASA's all about those acronyms. Those are very, I mean, they're very scientific. It's not their fault that they just acronym like a joke that a fifth grader would.
Kavi is being extremely careful about the examples he's chosen.
All right, well, so go Google and see the less than PG rated examples, apparently, that are out there.
It's a family show.
They're all fun. They're all funny. They're all in good spirits, but good Lord.
You guys. Well, I have one more mission that I'm looking forward to. It is a little flashy, I will give you that, but Dragonfly.
Ooh, yes.
Benjamin's dying. Oh, no. You can say it. Say it up. Say it. Come on. You need to share.
No. Anyway, so.
No, say it. Do it. Say it.
No, I think science is a beautiful and noble endeavor. Right.
We take our science very seriously here on the Space Case Series. Yes.
I just want to know now.
No.
Oh, I feel like I'm left out of a joke. Okay. But Dragonfly, I'm very excited for Dragonfly. That is going to which moon? Do you remember?
Our moon?
No. Dragonfly is the big quadcopter drone that's going to... hold on. Titan.
Oh, ah, yes, Titan, Saturn's moon, Titan. Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking of. I was thinking of
so Dragonfly.
Firefly. Sorry.
Oh.
Firefly Aerospace has a mission to.
this is quite the episode. we usually aren't this hysterically laughing, but sometimes we are. Dragonfly was very dependent on the success of Ingenuity. So they were very interested to see how Ingenuity would perform with the concept of building something monstrously bigger than just a single propelled vehicle. Like, this will have four propellers and it'll be like the size of a car, and it will be integrated with AI to fly around on the surface of Titan. And obviously that's a way out there in the future mission, which I think is always funny when NASA plans these missions and they're like Perseverance is a perfect example where they're like, well, we're going to collect samples and we're going to bring them back. How are we going to bring them back? We don't know yet, but we're just building it to do it. You know, like, we're giving it that capability. How is it coming back? We haven't designed that yet. You know, and so Dragonfly is kind of
forward planning.
Yeah, I mean, Dragonfly is basically like, we assume that the artificial technology in, you know, artificial navigation of these crafts will be able to handle doing that by the time we have this built and sent out there, which we've seen cars are getting very good. Tesla has some very good technology with self-driving cars and self-driving vehicles. And you guys have seen my little robot, right? The little bubbly yellow bubble. Her name is Sagan. Sagan, yeah. My little robot. she people often actually, their response is, oh, that's one of those food delivery ones that I've seen in XY City. And I have to say, no, actually, those are programmed even more advanced than mine, because mine just follows me. It just uses cameras and sensors to track my motion and follow me. But those are programmed to do it on their own. Mine can't move on her own. But it's kind of cool, right? That now people are, they're not even that shocked by the robot. They're just like, oh, I've seen one of those. Or they're in the grocery store scanning the scanning the barcodes. And I'm like, oh no, mine's not that actually as smart as that. So
I have a stupid robot.
Well, she would go off a stair. If I walked her off the stairs, she'd follow me. So she's not that bright, Sagan. But anyway, my point being, Dragonfly will be utilizing this, you know, robots thinking for themselves technology when we get there.
It's going to be so awesome when it gets there.
It is going to be so cool. Because maybe by then we'll have the radio telescope on the moon, which will mm-hmm. then be able to more directly and quickly observe what Dragonfly is doing out yeah. there. Probably not, but you know.
On Titan, it landed in the muddy riverbed.
The nitrogen riverbed. The radio telescope, serious question for you, Kavi, on the moon, would that enhance the speed of communication technology to, like, say, if people landed on Mars, would that make our communications systems to Mars more immediate instead of having that much of a delay? Or would that be still the same?
I think the short answer is yes. I mean, any radio telescope can be used as both a receiver and a transmitter. At the moment, I think that sort of communication would either be limited to, you know, from Earth directly to Mars, or it would be routed by one of the, the LSO, the orbiting satellites around the moon. Maybe it's not LSO, but yeah. So you'd have to like ping off that satellite and then go forward. But yeah, assuming that I can't remember where they're planning on building the radio telescope. I think it's on the dark side. So yeah, it would be facing away from Earth. So doable. Yeah, definitely doable. I didn't consider that.
It
would still be a 20-minute delay though, right? Because of it's just 20 minutes away.
Light distance. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That would be
a limiting factor. But it would probably prevent any blackout communications situations, because there are some times where we wouldn't be able to talk to, we probably still, because it's blocked by the sun. Never mind. Scratch that. Anyway, this is about the point where we have to wrap it up, gentlemen. We have gone past our 15-minute mark. I know. Time flies when you're having fun.
Who would have thought we'd have so much to say about neon?
Neon and lighting sparklers from the bottom up.
It's been the whole hour. Gosh.
I know. It goes really fast.
Light sparklers from the bottom up.
But I do want to give, before we head out, a reminder, obviously, my usual social media, IROC Space Radio, Space Case Sarah, Fun Fact Science, Science Actually Science, depending on who or what platform you're on. But I wanted to give a little heads up to who we are bringing on next week. I'm very excited. So one of the goals for this show that we have talked about since its conception, and thank you, Benjamin, for the idea, was that we wanted to bring people who do or use science for good or share science for good. And there was nobody better I could think of than bringing on our friend Lee, who is doing the Passage Project, flying STEM supplies down all the way down through Latin America. So he's stopping at multiple points throughout the whole country. And he is going to be doing that in December. He recently launched his trailer for the documentary that he's making with it. So we have Lee scheduled on for the next time we record. This might be timed out to air a little bit later in the month of October, because I will be going to the Philippines for a couple of weeks. And so it might be one of those ones that I'll save for while I'm gone. I don't know yet, but anyway, it's going to be really exciting, and we're so thrilled to have Lee come and join us. So, Lee, if you're listening, we're excited for you.
Yay.
This has been another episode, the Neon episode, episode 10, which, confetti, woo, 10 episodes. We're 10 years, 10 episodes.
10 old. Years. We'll 10. See. I hope so.
10 episodes old.
We're gonna
over
run out of
2 months old. Here on
hopefully
the
they'll have discovered.
Yeah, what? I don't
even do the math now. It's been a great 10 episodes so far, and we will definitely have 10 more at the very minimum. At the very least. You have been listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on IROC Space Radio.